Hello there, you Awakening Wonders. Thanks for joining us live on the internet on Rumble. The first 10, 15 minutes we put up in all sorts of places. But after that, when I need to speak freely, we're exclusively available on Rumble. And we're going to need to speak freely today because from Fox News, we've got Kat Timpf, commentator that I met when I went on Greg Gutfeld this time. Are Fox News going to be able to continue to pay people with their massive out-of-court settlement? And does this mean that democracy is officially not rigged, that elections are not rigged now because Fox making those claims on air while privately they exchanged texts saying that they didn't believe them themselves, which, by the way, sounds very similar to the American government's official stance on the Ukraine-Russia conflict, publicly saying, this is a winnable war. Go, Ukraine. Private round the back. We ain't getting none of that territory back. Never admitting that there are boots on the ground of US personnel. These are the content of the recent leaks that you may not have heard about because all anyone will tell you is this guy calls himself the OG. He's in chat rooms. He probably masturbates into a sockin. That's not real proper news, is it? We bring you real news, and real news will always be about establishment narratives, challenging them and breaking down centralized power. So whilst we'll talk a bit about Fox News's payout, we'll be asking bigger questions. Does this mean an end to systemic corruption? Does this mean that the next time there's an election in your country, the side that loses won't be saying the election was rigged? And does it mean that the only answer is secession now, that America needs to accept its too vast a territory for one centralized, corporatized, lying, corrupt, globalist government, and it's time to decentralize, devolve, and bring true democracy to America? Let me know in the chat if you think that's the kind of direction that America should head in, or should they double down on authoritarianism, censorship, surveillance, the way things appear to be going. If you're living in New York City now, watch your back, there's a digi-dogger coming your way. Not having learned the basic lessons of RoboCop, RoboCops are being introduced and made to sound all favorable and chummy with the use of the cute moniker Digi-dogs. It's only a digi-dog that's tyrannizing me. What's that that just shot me in the back? It was a digi-dog. Oh, how can I stay mad at you? Would you like another silicon chip? Would you like a semiconductor? We ain't going to Taiwan, baby. Not now, not never, unless it becomes profitable. Once we click over to being exclusively on Rumble, we're going to bring you a breathtaking, mind-bending, bone-breaking tale about China potentially developing a certain medicine even before a particular outbreak was even recognized. Begging the question, if the outbreak hasn't happened yet, how come they're developing a medicine for it? Is this a conspiracy theory, or is this just another one of those news stories that the mainstream will be reporting 6 months to a year down the line? Let me know in the chat which you think it is. So there it is. Fox settled out of court for saying that Dominion's voting machines are faulty. Turns out they're some of the best damn voting machines that money can buy. Fantastic stuff. In other news, there's a new voice in town. There's a new political power rising up. There's a man who will embrace vulgarity with a brazenness heretofore not seen. We've often said on this channel that Donald Trump's power is drawn from the fact that within systemic corruption, a person that embraces vulgarity, a person that can say, yeah, I know there are tax loopholes, I used them. I know the system's rigged because I participated in rigging it. We'll be looking right now at Donald Trump's magnificent car. And later, we'll be looking at some Democrat corruption, too, that suggests that they're in no position to attack Trump. That's why he is Teflon to their slurs, because they ain't got no basis upon which to attack him. Joining me for all of this and more is my very, very neatly dressed on-screen assistant, Gareth Roy.
Oh, thank you.
Giving you a full... Did you like that?
It's a bit grand.
To be announced. So I thought I would do that. I thought I'd give you an on-screen announcement. Are you the sort of person who would, under any circumstances, get a Donald Trump collectible card?
Well, I don't know. I'd have to see. I imagine it's a very low-key advert for it.
He doesn't exaggerate the significance of these cards. He doesn't suggest that they're important non-fungibles. Fungible is not a word you ever thought would make it into the mainstream, but here it is, fungible. It's here to stay. We'll be talking about Fox's out-of-court settlement, but let's have a look at Donald Trump's latest gambit. It's pretty cool. Have a look.
Hello again. This is your favorite president, Donald Trump, with some news you are going...
Do you think he'd like record something to a phone? Do you
I
think that someone just puts a phone and goes, oh, we're doing some more of them cards?
Yeah.
And then he just does that.
Yeah. I bet he does it in one take.
One take, easy.
To really love, a few months ago, we almost broke the internet when I announced my Trump digital trading cards. These beautiful Trump cards made...
Beautiful. It's interesting because we have progressed beyond irony, beyond the post-modernity, where Trump, far from being embarrassed about an image of himself as a firefighter or as a rock star, literally will embrace it. And I reckon that tells you that we're living in something so lurid and so vivid that there's nothing that he can do. Like when he famously said he could shoot someone on Madison Avenue, is that we're living in such a nihilistic maelstrom now where we know that figures like Biden are only inadvertently honest in so much as they are like a kind of barely vivacious cadaver orating badly from the pulpit, that they somehow represent what they are without ever telling you the truth. And stories like this one, like, oh, Fox have had to do this massive out-of-court settlement. Hooray! Hooray for democracy! Hooray for justice! Not really. Clearly, America is systemically broken. Clearly, the mainstream media is broken. Clearly, you get no congressional options that mean anything in a system where there are wealth transfers in the trillions during a time of poverty and suffering. I'm referring to the pandemic. At a time where 50% of federal budgets go to the Pentagon. 50% of that then ends up in the military industrial complex in private contractors' hands. These are not the kind of policies that you want implemented, are they? Let me know in the chat in the comments. Would you go, oh yeah, could you send $10 billion to Taiwan? That's happening. $10 billion's going to Taiwan in aid. Did you know that? Did you vote for it? Let me know. I don't remember voting for it, but then I'm not American. You know, all of these systems, all of this expenditure is set up to support a system that requires constant war in its mouth. It's a war-devouring machine. All this stuff is a side show. There's, in a sense, Trump's cards are as important as the Fox payout, or Hillary piously saying, oh, he used to say, lock me up. Well, he should be locked up. It's all, as we know now, theater. There is no meaningful difference between the actors on this stage. No meaningful difference. I know some of you have personal affinities with or affiliations for some of them, but I'm offering you this. What difference does it really make if you don't make some systemic change? Let me know. Let me know in the chat or the comments. Have a look.
Headlines all over the world because of the speed at which they sold. Original cards sold out so fast. Everybody is asking me to do another series. Well, I've got some fantastic news for you. My Trump digital trading cards are back with a bang. Series 2, the new collection, features incredible artwork of me as a rock star and also as a monster trucker. People...
He has to list some of the ones.
Monster trucker.
I wonder if they gave him an option.
They must have done.
Which ones to highlight.
Yeah.
Like, which ones do you want to say? The rockstar one, the trucker one.
Because it'll do so many that eventually they'll like run out and it'll just be like standard things. Me as a man collecting the bins or something.
Me looking at my own Trump non-fungible cards. It'll become a sort of a self-devouring vortex of non-fungibility.
Stay free with Russell Brand. See it first on Rumble.
Mystic Kipper says, clip-clops in flip-flops. That would soften the image. You're right about that, Mystic Kipper. Blessed old bird, these are tools. This is what happens when someone hacks into the system. Or what happens? Is it, let me just work that out. Yeah, what happens when they do? We don't know yet, mate. But it won't be good, I don't imagine. Neon Grammarian. How does clip-clop do when it's caught in a bear trap or falls into a camouflaged hole? Well done. The counter-clip-clop movement's begun, and it began here. We have got a fantastic guest joining us right now, a person that I have met and been on a TV program with, and sat on an armchair under bright lights, looking at for a moment, having those sort of powerful moments of reflection that I often have when I'm on a television show where I start thinking about God and death and meaning.
And Greg Gutfeld.
And Greg Gutfeld, because it was his show, so I thought about him a bit. I looked at him, wondered what he was like. Sometimes I think about everyone's kidneys and everything, doing their jobs, think about all the cells regenerating, think about that we're in limitless space, and then think, oh no, I'm being asked a question.
And he's got a bright jumper on.
Yeah, it's very bright. But the guest was, I remember thinking that alongside the Thanos-like wrestler man, who I liked and was funny and made a couple of good jokes and he seemed like a pretty nice guy, actually, the person I liked who was opposite from me was Kat Timpf, whose book I hold in my hand now, You Can't Joke About That, which pictures her holding some booze in a microphone in a studded shoe, sat atop of a, I believe, a coffin. And me and Kat Timpf are going to have a conversation now and talk about, I suppose, hate speech. Also, Kat, you know, I met Kat on Fox. So we've got to talk about what's going on Fox and all that stuff. Kat, are you there, mate? Are you there on the internet with us?
Yes, I am. Hello.
It's lovely to see you.
So great to see you too.
Do you remember that time when we met each other and it was on Greg Gutfeld?
Yes, yes, we did. We had some great conversations about binary thinking and the way that people in power like to play us against each other so that we don't pay attention to how corrupt things are getting and the way they're abusing their power. And I've loved a lot of things that you've said, sort of continuing in that exact direction.
Yeah, like I've started to find, like, I'm having conversations with people that I've been trained to be suspicious of. They're delightful, you know?
Thank
delightful,
you.
Delightful, friendly, and open. And not you necessarily. I don't even know if you are a right-wing person. I can't tell. I've been looking at your book. It seems to me that you're very interested in freedom and conversation and humor and fun. Tell me, mate, well, this book, is the driving idea behind your book that ongoing censorship will ultimately be deleterious because we won't be able to muck about and have fun?
That's part of it, right? And I'm a libertarian, so I'm not in either one of the two big teams. The point of the book is all the things that we're not supposed to talk about, the things that we're not supposed to joke about, how harmful that is to the people who are actually going through tough things. If you're going through trauma, you don't want to be treated weird by people who are too afraid to speak to you and maybe say the wrong thing. And that applies to so many different things because ultimately we're all in this together. And the only way that we're actually going to be able to survive is being able to openly communicate with each other about everything, including political stuff and the stuff you shouldn't say, but also stuff like death, which is why I'm sitting on a coffin on my book cover.
That's why you're sitting on that coffin.
Yes, absolutely. I think that a lot of the debate is always about speech versus sensitivity, right? But that really ignores the way that it can bring us together because every tough thing I've ever been through, one thing that got me through it was thinking, okay, well, I'm at least building a connection with everyone else who's been through it too. Whether it was losing my mom at a young age, being very, very broke starting out, or I had an emergency ostomy surgery in 2020. Then I had a reversal where I had some complications and I was in the hospital actually on January 6th. But what's the use if we can't talk about all of that stuff? So we're actually limiting our ability to connect with each other and also to heal within ourselves. Because if something is really scary, then the best way to take away the power from that thing is to laugh in the face of it.
I saw Jon Stewart make a point like that, talking about some of the stuff that Kanye said, and it was one of the things I've most enjoyed, that really we get opportunities for conversation. Although I suppose not everyone likes to talk about sensitive or traumatic issues. And I suppose really, Kat, we want to foster a situation where you're not afraid to speak about stuff, but neither are you afraid to be private. It's this odd situation where public speech is being censored while simultaneously we're being surveilled and observed, criminalized and treated as people that need to be paternally handled and controlled. So it's an interesting time to be an outspoken person. You go on Fox and stuff, mate. What do you find it like on there? Do you like, I mean, I had a really good experience when I went on both Tucker and on Greg Gutfeld. Tell me what it's like for you, how you started going on there, and then tell us a bit about what you think about the out-of-court settlement and stuff, if you're comfortable talking about that and it doesn't put you in a compromising legal situation.
Right. Well, I think this kind of goes back to a lot of the stuff you were saying because, you know, I work on Fox News, but I work on the late night show. So I wasn't covering the 2020 election. But if you hear Fox News, you think it's a monolith, right? People say Kat Tim Fox News, and then they think in their head, okay, I now know everything that I need to know about this person, to the point where there are some people who won't even sit down and have a conversation with me. They know nothing about me. They know nothing about my life. And I even saw that happen to you when you were a guest on Fox News, and all of the things you were saying were about this binary thinking and, you know, the power systems. And people said, oh, you went on Fox News, so now Russell Brand is a far right-wing person. But that's how people in power maintain their power and grow their power, because we're so focused arguing back and forth with each other. The place where I work doesn't say everything that there is to say about me. And I think that that is very rarely the case. And that keeps people from actually understanding each other or from noticing what's going on from the people in power who are just growing their power. They're watching us. We find that say we're not watching you, that we find out. And they were like, oh, but look at what this other side did. I picked this team. So, but what this other side did was worse.
Yeah. There's a real like pettiness and vanity in it. Like I think Greg Gutfeld said when I was on there, like of me, Russell Brand don't like Fox News either, and the criticisms leveled at MSNBC and CNN are also being leveled at Fox. But I suppose what I've found particularly troubling of late is the narcissism and the idea that CNN or MSNBC are meaningfully superior to a more conservative, Republican or right-wing, however you want to describe it, outlet like Fox, that they aren't funded in ways that's compromising, that they don't have a relationship with the government that's compromising. These recent leaks, Pentagon Papers part deux, show that people aren't willing to focus on the content of the papers, instead focusing on the personality of the kid that made the revelations.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's even worse because this isn't new. And then there's also the Afghanistan papers. I mean, it's all built into the system that if you go to, I mean, my husband, he fought in Afghanistan, and he said when he was 10 years ago, he said, when I was there, I knew that what they were telling us, or telling, you know, us, meaning the world, that they were trying to do, that was never going to be possible. But by telling people in power what they wanted to hear, oh, it's going great, it's going great, that's how you get away with it. These people get promoted. A lot of the same people that were involved in that, and certainly the same systems, are doing all of this. And you focus on the leaker did this wrong, and not the fact that we've all been lied to. And I was suspicious of this the entire time because I'm awake. And just like you were not a patriot, if you question some of the stuff in the Middle East, if you question Ukraine, then you're a Putin puppet, right? The more that they tell you can't question something, the more that I think, I better look into this. I bet that I'm being lied to. And then again, it's they do that to shut you up. And that's why in my book, so much talk about communication and questioning things. And you have to think for yourself. It is much easier to just say, oh, this is my side, because then all the thinking is done for you. And no matter what you do, you'll have people on your side to back you up and point out how the other side is so much worse. But the military industrial complex lives on throughout that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Cat Timpf.
It does. Yeah. It's sick, and it costs lives. But people make money, and we're all just sitting there like, oh, did you hear about that guy broke that law, or what that person said, or that team is bad? And I'm like, is anybody else paying attention to this?
Well, yeah, we're paying close attention to it. And what we're observing is that most of the stories that we cover are about how state regulation usually improves corporate interest's ability to act upon their agenda, that the media, generally speaking, highlight issues that are difficult to resolve and could easily be brought to some kind of conclusion by an acceptance of mutual tolerance and leaving one another alone and letting people be different. That there's a sort of an appetite to empower globalist centralized authorities like the WHO. I mean, we see it again and again, militarization of the police force, a kind of what it feels like is the enhancement of centralized authority when what is required is the decentralization of power and the acceptance that there are a lot of different ways of being human. Are you doing this interview on a laptop?
I sure am.
Why don't you roam around your house and show us stuff?
Oh, this is my office. Yeah.
Give us a tour of the property.
Oh, this is my office, so this is it. My stuff is on the couch here, and my wig's over there for my sketches that I do. I'm just sitting in my office. But, you know, again, I just want to add, too, that, you know, people who are working in government, you know, we pay their salary, and they're supposed to be servants. So, obviously, they get rich doing this, which should just tell you all that you need to know also. You go in as a politician, and you become super wealthy. And again, we all allow this to happen and we don't ask any questions. We all need to talk more and listen to each other more and not just say, okay, I think that I know what this person is because of this or that affiliation or in this team and that team, because it's just getting worse every day and they keep getting away with it and nobody seems to care.
Who do you want to read a bit of your book? You, me, or Gareth?
Whoever could go for it. You got it open.
No one wants to hear you whine unless you're funny. If you were alive during the spring of 2020, your spring was probably pretty rough. If you weren't alive, then you're either a baby genius or a spirit from the underworld. In either case, please reach out to me. I have questions. You know, if you're a spirit of the underworld. Even if you didn't have any of the real problems associated with the COVID pandemic, like someone close to you dying, losing your job or your business, or having to spend all of your time at home with your children, I like that, it still probably really, really sucked. All of life's simple joys were suddenly either illegal or impossible, especially in cities like New York. Want to go out to dinner? Too bad, that's illegal. Want to go outside and feel some fresh air on your face? Some dickhead is going to scream at you to put a mask on. It was terrible. I can't even imagine how club girls felt. I mean, where are they supposed to wear their bandage dresses and heels now? Yeah, where are they? This is just an extract from Kat Timp's book in which she sacrilegiously perches upon a wooden esophagus and waits for this general attitude around humour to radically alter. Kat, thanks for coming on this show and talking to us.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure. It's always great talking to you.
Why you got wigs in your office?
Because I've done Elizabeth Warren and Jen Psaki impressions. And then I have this other wig from another impression here. Here is a participation trophy from 1996 when I played AYSO soccer. You know, I got it all going on. But
Alf's over there. Alf, alien life form, he's there.
Yes, I've had that since I was a little girl.
Nice. So. Keep Alf around. He was all right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I watched a lot of Elf to help get me through a breakup. I think comedy is super healing. I consider comedy to be actually my religion. I hope one day to believe in God again, but it's so healing. And I think it's so important when everything else is so sad and disgusting going on around us to be able to speak the way we want to about it.
Yeah, sometimes I get so serious on the show because we're analysing things that seem really important. You have to hold all of this dense information. You have to be careful that you're not doing the things you're being accused of by your detractors of like, oh no, am we supporting conspiracy theories? Are we being irresponsible? But generally, we are able to maintain the line by talking to experts and a variety of people. Every so often, though, I feel like, oh man, I just need to stop taking life so seriously. I've been doing that lately. I've just fallen backwards into total frivolity.
Well, I don't think that's falling backwards, right? I think that people like to laugh too. So if you can make people laugh, you can also get them to listen to you a little bit. Because I think people get sick of the news being so depressing. But also, at least, you know, you're not afraid to question things, which I think is super important.
Kat Timpf, thanks for coming on our show. Get Kat Timpf's book. You can't joke about that. It's out now. We'll put a link in the chat so that you can get it easily. Thanks for joining us, Kat. We'll see you again soon, I hope.
Yes, me too.
Care, mate. Hey, guess who's on the show tomorrow? Branko Marchetich. He's going to be on.
Mm.
You love him, don't you?
Hey, I think he's a very good journalist, yeah.
Don't try and make it a professional love.
I mean, it isn't anything other than
it's
that.
Nothing but professional admiration.
I haven't met him.
You've seen him online.
One day, that'd be nice. One day, yeah, that'd be nice.
What do you think he'll come in here in person?
Who knows?
Yeah, he's on tomorrow, so...
That's good, then.
Hopefully you can nurture your connection to him.
Yes, yep.
I don't want you to sit there through the interview just quietly harbouring a resentment because I'm controlling the chat.
I mean, that's possible. I may do that.
I want you, at some point during it, to interject passionately and just say, Branko!
Well, I'm not... I'll have to read the room, Russell.
Yeah, okay. Don't do it if it doesn't seem right.
No.
Also, we're talking about this poor US military lad who foolishly filled in a spoof form to become an assassin. That's not how you become an assassin, is it? By filling in forms?
Who knows?
Who knows?
How do you become one?
I don't know. You've got to get in with the right crowd, the assassin crowd, I suppose. Let us know in the chat if you know how to become one. Anyway, this poor lad's become a bit of a patsy and the object of mainstream ire. But really, the story, I believe, when someone from the military is willing to become a spoof assassin is, why aren't they earning enough from their proper job being in the military? And what is the real story of criminality and corruption? Is it military-industrial complex expenditure, or is it one lad photographing himself in front of a mirror with some snacks behind him, a bit like that other lad, Buddy Texera, whistleblower, gamer, OG, revealer of the simple fact that we've been lied to about the Ukraine-Russia conflict? We'll also be talking to you about a potential cure for long COVID. Yeah, you can sniff your way back to full health. It seems ridiculous, but a lot of things are ridiculous these days. Remember, you can click the red button to join our locals community where you get access to weekly podcast recordings. You can join us live and ask questions. Me and Gareth do Q&A sometimes. Plus, I do these weekly meditations where I do a bespoke meditation for someone based on what they're going through. Like someone's got to make a tough decision. Someone's got their heart broken. Anything. I also want to let you know that in the middle of July, we are doing a community festival. Wim Hof, the Ice Shaman, will be there. Vandana Shiva, world teacher, will be there. Hiron Gracie, BJJ expert, will be there. Eddie Stern, there's Satish Kumar. It's going to be a fantastic event and you can come. Callie Means is even coming with his sister as well, because apparently she inspired him to get into all this stuff. I've not learned a lot about her yet. But it's going to be a fantastic educational community event. You will meet me. You will meet Wim Hof. You'll have the time of your life. There's a link in the description to get your tickets. Anyway, I suppose tomorrow is our last show of the week. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. Branko Marchetich will be there. Will Gareth finally declare his affection?
Possible.
Reveal
it's
his
possible.
Erection? Bring about an insurrection? Who will know until tomorrow? Join us then. Not for more of the same, but for more of the different. Until then, stay free. Men switch in, switch on, switch off. Men switch in, switch on, switch off. Men switch in, switch on, switch off. Men switch in, switch on, switch off.